Hey, I wanna finish up on my Possessing the Land series, and that, I guess the title of this one is Faith to Possess Your Promised Land. You know, today as we live, we can either choose to go with the flow, or use our the world, or use our faith to get what belongs to us according to the Word of God. You know, sometimes we find ourselves in a position of just standing passively. You can't afford to stand passively and say, whatever will be, because whatever will be bad. Because that's what the devil has come to do, to steal, kill, and destroy. And he is not going to bring anything that's going to be a blessing. He's going to bring curses. You know, and God has set up a way in which he responds to his people. And so we see in the Word of God that God's people in the Word, and we're God's people today, they did impossible things because they had faith to believe that what he said he would do. Now, I grew up in a home where a man believed that, and he always said, we will believe God in our toughest situations, and we had some tough ones. And that's the same thing that I'm doing today, Lynette's doing today, that we're teaching faith in Rhema Bible colleges all over the world. Now, you need to decide whether you're going to believe God's word or whether you're going to just accept whatever comes towards you. You know, you can doubt that it's possible to have it and do without. Or you can believe God's word and receive it. It's up to you. It's your choice. It's not God's. It's not mine. It's not your friends. It's not your husband, your wife, anybody, your brother, your sister, anybody. It's up to you whether you believe the word of God and possess the promises of God that he said belongs to you. Now, Caleb and Joshua, you know, we've been talking about the children of Israel and the promised land. And now, remember last week we talked about how they brought back the 10, brought back an evil report and so forth and so on. Now, down in Numbers 13:30, Caleb quieted the people and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we're well able to overcome. Now, Caleb and Joshua had heard from Moses the promise of God to give them the promised land. And if you count them, I think there's about 16 times up until this time that he had promised them to take them into Canaan. Now, I want you to notice that they went in to the promised land and spied it out just like the other 10 did. They were not moved, though, by what they saw. They were not moved by the sight of the giants. They were not moved by the doubt and unbelief of the 10 guys that went over there with them. They were not moved by the fact that they even had to stay in the wilderness for 40 years because of the unbelief of the rest of the bunch. See, the Israelites proved right here that you cannot receive God's promises while in unbelief. It takes faith to possess the promises of God. Now, Caleb waited in the wilderness for 40 years with a bunch of unbelievers. Now, don't you think that was a lot of fun? He's all the time talking to them, about the fact, hey, we could be in the, we could be over there right now if you believe God. There he is. See, unfortunately, they chose to go with what the 10 spies said. And they doubted they could possess the land, and they didn't. They even got mad at Moses and wanted to get some new leaders and go back to Egypt. They even wanted to stone Caleb and Joshua. And God had to move to keep them from stoning the two guys that wanted to believe God. If you go back up and read in the first part of the 14th chapter, and this is after they'd got all the reports. So all the congregation, that's in 13, they got the reports. So all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to the land to fall by the sword, and our wives and children become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said one to another, let us select leaders and return to Egypt. Now, you go, that's verses 1 through 4. You drop on down to 28th verse. So say to them, now this is God talking to Moses. As I live, says the Lord, and just as you have spoken in my hearing, I will do to you. Now this is, he heard them what they said, and he said, you're going to get what you say. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness, and all of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I will make you dwell in. I want you to notice they talked about falling in the wilderness and dying in the wilderness. And he said, okay, you want to do it? Verse 29, the carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness. You know, they ended up staying in the wilderness until everybody that was 20 years old and older died off. Because of their unbelief, they never entered the promised land. And then in Hebrews 3:19 it says, so we see that they could not enter in because of their unbelief. They refused to believe God, so they didn't get to go in. What a sad moment it was when all of Israel had to turn around from the door of the promised land and go back into the wilderness. Now it's interesting here that Caleb and Joshua, although they believed God, they had to go along with the unbelieving Israelites. They had to wander in the wilderness in no fault of their own. They suffered along with all of the unbelieving Israelites. Caleb and Joshua were the only men of the older generation who did not die in the wilderness because they believed God. Now look, drop on down there in the 36th verse of that Numbers 14. Now the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report of the land, those men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord. Evidently, they got a disease. But Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, remained alive of the men who went to spy out the land. See, this shows you that when everyone around you is in unbelief, it can affect what you have to go through. But it does not have to affect you believing God. See, Caleb and Joshua believed God all the while they were going through the wilderness with the people that were too dumb to receive God's promise. Now you say, well, that's a hard statement. Well, it is dumb. when God tells you something and you refuse to believe it. Hello? I mean, you know, I have in the flight reading my Bible, my dad had it. God said it, I believe it, that settles it, period. There is no question about it. If God said it, then, and he said I could have it, he said I could possess it, then I can have it. Whether I get it or not is not up to anybody else but me. You see, they got those people, the 10 spies and the people that rejected the good report of Caleb and Joshua, they got exactly what they said. We're going to die in the wilderness. And they did. Caleb and Joshua said, we are well able. We can take the land. We can go up and get that. They got exactly what they said. Hello. Now, look at this in Numbers 14:24. But my servant Caleb, now you see, we're going on down here, we're reading. He said that the others were going to die in the wilderness. But my servant Caleb, he has a different spirit in him, has followed me fully. I will bring him to the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Now it says here that Caleb had a different spirit. What kind of spirit did he have? He had a spirit of faith. And Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians 4:13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke, we also believe, therefore speak. Now, the Johnson paraphrase on that says, we have the same attitude of faith. Actually, Paul is simply quoting David here, King David, saying, along with every one of us, we all have the same spirit or attitude of faith. Caleb demonstrated the attitude of faith when he said, quieted the people there and said, hey, let us go up at once and take the land because God said we can. See, Caleb, Joshua, David, Paul, all had the same spirit of faith. And we can have the same spirit of faith also. If they needed a spirit of faith, then we need a spirit of faith. An attitude that believes that you can have whatever God said in his word. That's the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith is a spirit that Paul demonstrated in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's the spirit of faith. Hello? You see, an attitude that believes that all things are possible with God. That's what the Bible says. If you have faith, all things are possible. I didn't say it, the Bible said it. Mark. An attitude of faith says, I always triumphed in Christ Jesus. Paul says that in Corinthians. You know, an attitude that no matter what is happening, what is going on in our lives, the attitude of faith says God will bring us through because he said so in his word. You know, God gave Dad the mandate September 1950 in a tent meeting in Rockwall, Texas. Go teach my people faith. I remember that night. It was raining. It was a bad night. And I didn't, you know, Garland is right by Rockwall. And I didn't go to the meeting that night. I stayed home with my cousin, my sister, My cousin's sister that came to live with us when she was 16, she took care of us when mom and dad would go sometimes. And me and my sis and her didn't go that night. And that's the night he had the vision. And it was a rainy night. And he knelt on the platform. And God told him, go teach my people faith. And he traveled the highways of this nation. He kept a log, and he logged over 2 million miles driving, teaching people faith. How many of you first learned about the faith message from a man by the name of Kenneth Hagin, either by him preaching to you or you reading a book, especially The Authority of the Believer? And, you know, he would say, and I hear him say it, you know, I heard him say it to mom. I heard him say it to himself as he's driving. I'd be sitting behind him. He's driving. I'm sitting there, and mom and sister are asleep, and he's driving, you know, wee hours of the morning because, you know, our tires wasn't very good, and there wasn't no air conditioning in the car, and so it's easier to run at night. And so here we were. And he said, how can I do this? How can I get this message out? How can it go out? And then God said, start a Bible school. And he, Lynette and I were put in charge of that. And I knew immediately when he said it, that that's the way we were going to get his mandate, the message of faith around the world. And it is continuing to be taught. He proclaimed the message of God. But Lynette and I, Craig, Denise, and all of these that I, and many, many more, but Tim and Rhonda, John and Michelle, Haley and Walker, Matt and Kristen, and Bedire and Chris, and Catherine, and Tony and Patsy, and Jeff and Cindy Weber, Joe Purcell and Mary, and I'm leaving out a whole bunch of, and then that's just people that graduate from here, and then you've got Guto and all of the guys down in Brazil that graduated from Brazil. You got the guys in Germany that have graduated, and all them Mexico, all of these other countries that are now going out and teaching faith. It's going around the world. It is the message that will help you to possess what God said belongs to you. And everywhere I go, where they've gotten a hold of the message of faith, you can see that their living conditions and everything about them has risen to a new level, because that's what God says in his word. They believe it, accept it, and it happens. You know, it's so much fun to go and preach in some of these nations, because you preach to people that hadn't heard somebody else telling them a bunch of other junk. You tell them exactly what the Bible says, and they don't even question it. They grab it and believe it and have immediate miracles and all kinds of stuff going on. Ask all these guys, isn't that not so? Raise your hand if that's not so. Because they get that, that's what God said. We tell them they can possess the land. They haven't had some other teaching telling them that they can't, and they just accept it. They grab a hold of that spirit of faith, that attitude of faith. See, you have to possess the spirit of faith before you can possess the promise of God. You know, attitude always produces action. The wrong attitude produces wrong actions. The right attitude produces right actions. You know, that's in anything. You know, playing football. Okay, I play. Now, a guy can do something and hit me wrong or something, instead of retaliating and getting in trouble, I change my attitude and say, okay, I'm just going to play harder than you play. See, one attitude get me in trouble, lose yardage. The other attitude brings me out a winner. So what? He blocked me, and it was an illegal block. That's his problem, not mine, because my problem is the next time you get in front of me, I'm going to blow you up. See, one attitude would get me in trouble. One attitude helps me play harder. That's what I always did. Playing defensive back, a guy beat me, catch the ball. He goes back by me, head of a huddle. I said, that's the last thing you catch today, bud. See, rather than getting in trouble, I just play harder. See, you got to have the attitude of faith. Believe God. The devil comes against you, just dig your feet in the ground and say, I believe God. Quote the word of God harder. Hey, some people, you know, they say, I believe God. I believe God. Praise the Lord. No. Praise the Lord. I believe God. The word says it. I believe it. See, don't be afraid to open your mouth and tell what you believe according to God's word. It's either so or it's not. You got to make up your mind. It's so or it's not. Now look at old Caleb. Old Caleb. He's out there in the wilderness, wandering around with the rest of the unbelievers. Yet, he keeps talking about what's going to happen when he gets in the promised land. His faith kept him alive when everybody else died. Now he gets in the promised land. And look at this. Now he goes to Joshua and he tells him, he says, hey, the Lord has kept me alive. As he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am, this day, for 85 years old. And yet I am as strong today on the day Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there. That is the city where were great and fortified. It may be the Lord be with me. I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And that's the land. He wanted the area. He wanted the area of the giants, the very thing that kept all the rest of them from getting in. He said, Give me the giants, I'll take them down. These giants have kept me out of the promised land for 40 years. Now I'm gonna take care of these guys. I'm going to take it back. Come on. That's his attitude of faith. That's his spirit of faith. He wasn't afraid to go where the giants were. He was 40 years old when he went in there, but now here he is, 85. He was 45. Now here he is, 40 years later, 85. He says, hey, I'm not afraid of the giants. Give me the land. See, the same God, he believed the same God that had said that he could have the land was still the same God. He believed that the same God that had given them food and water and helped them defeat enemies that were 3 and 4 or 5 times stronger than they were, he believed that that same God was still able to deliver. See, Caleb was a man of faith. He believed God. And because he had a spirit of faith, he declared before he ever got there. Now it says that Paul was quoting David, and David talking about a spirit of faith. You see, David had the spirit of faith all the way back when he was a 17-year-old kid, when he went out after the giant. He went out after the giant. Now, Caleb had that same spirit of faith. See, I want you to notice that David, when he went out after the giant was mouthing off and you know, talking all of his trash. And David just let him talk. All the while the giant was talking, David was walking toward him. And when the giant finally sputtered to a close, David said, I come to you, not in my own strength, I'm going to paraphrase it, but not in my own strength, but in the power of the Lord God Jehovah, whom you are defying. And this day, I will take your head off and I will feed your carcasses to the birds of the air. That's big talk from about a 5'7" or 5'7", 5'9" each kid talking to a 9-foot tall giant. Hello? But see, he had the spirit of faith. He had the attitude of faith. If God said it, he could do it. You've got to get that same attitude of faith and believe what God said in this word and begin to confess it and possess what belongs to you according to the word of God. Say it with me. The Bible said it. I believe it. That settles it. Come on. Did you say it because I told you to? You really believe that? See, so many times we say things because somebody tells us to. Excuse me. But do we really believe it, or are we saying it because somebody said so? I don't know about you. I believe it. Somebody said, well, you got to start a simplistic attitude. I may have, but I'm going to live the good life because God said I could. You can have whatever kind of life you want. If you want to let whatever will be, well, let it be. But I'm going to have what the Bible says. You know. I think some singing group said, let it be, you know. I think some group sang that, I don't know. Hey, I'm not gonna go with let it be. I'm going to go with what God said. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. The same spirit of faith. All of us have got to grab that spirit of faith and go from there. Today, you can choose to possess the promised land. And when I'm talking about the promised land, I'm talking about the Bible. The Bible's our promised land. This is our promised land. Our salvation, our walk with God is our promised land. Sure, you're going to have to fight some battles. They had to fight some battles, but God helped them win them. He'll help you win every time if you believe. See, today is the day to rise up in faith and take possession of what the Bible says belongs to you. Believe what God said. Speak what God said over every situation that comes up in your life. And you'll see that you'll walk out on top. And as you walk, you'll see that I'm there by you every step of the way. And as you believe my word and stand on my word, I will carry you through. And you'll see that at the end, it'll all be good. And you'll shout and jump and run and shout with glee. I've won. Because Jesus has brought me through. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Glory. Everybody stand and praise the Lord. Just a little word from the Lord there. Hallelujah. Grab a hold of it. Make it work in your life. Thank you, Lord. Help us all to realize that we need to take that spirit of faith and go out and possess what belongs to us. The enemy is going to try to take it away from us. He's going to try to discourage us. But help us, oh Father, to realize your word said it. And we can believe it and go on. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody say it. Amen. Amen. Anybody get anything out of this today? Go take your land. I don't know what your land is. I know what my land is, and I'm going to possess what belongs to me, what I need from the word and belongs to me. You possess what you need and belongs to you according to the word of God. Amen. Hey, everybody bow your heads for just a moment, please. I never like to have a service that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus. You know, you might be here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Well, you can't possess what the Bible says until you accept Christ. You may be here today and you know what it is to serve Christ, but you know you're not where you need to be. You need to rededicate. Are there a lot of people that go to church? They've been going to church ever since they're a kid, but they don't know whether they've ever accepted Christ or not. I had that happen not very long ago. A man came and he said, you know, I've been going to church all my life. I've been going since I was a kid with my folk. I just kept going to church, but I don't know whether I have ever accepted Christ as my personal Savior or not, and I want to do that today. You may be like that man. Well, you can leave here different today. I also have another invitation. We believe in what the Bible says. I've been preaching, and it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. And you would say, I would like to receive that biblical spirit experience of being filled with the Spirit today. Anybody on any one of those four invitations, let me see your hand anywhere in this room, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere in the room. Let me see your hand. You need Christ. You need to rededicate your life. Thank you. There's a hand over here. You need a no-so experience with God, or you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Anybody else? I saw one hand, another hand over here. Thank you. Thank you. Are the other hands anywhere in the room? Some more upstairs, downstairs, anywhere. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down here because I want to shake your hand and pray with you. Like I said, if you raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, should have raised your hand, I want you to step out in the aisle and come on down here right now. Come on, right now. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand. If you're up in the balcony, the ushers will help you get down here. Come on, right now. Come on. Come on. I know we had hands raised. Come on. We had several hands raised. Stand right here. God bless you. God bless you. Just stand here in front of me. God bless you, man. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. You raised your hand. Should have raised your hand. If you didn't raise your hand, but you wanted to, come on down here. If you're standing there and want to come, but you don't want to walk by yourself, ask somebody. They'll walk down here with you. Come on. These people changing their life forever. You can change yours. Come on. We're going to wait just a moment. We're going to wait just a moment for you to make up your mind whether you want to change your life or go on like it is. It's up to you, not up to me. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just as you are. Hallelujah. Hey, guys. Thank you all for coming. You're going to change your life forever. Nobody else would come. Maybe they needed to. I got three books. New Birth, In Him, tells you who you are in Christ. This tells you about being born again, and then White Tongues tells you about the Holy Spirit. If I said I'm going to give these to you and I put them out here, what you got to do to get them? You got to reach and grab them. That's it. They're yours. Now, y'all going to get them same books in just a minute. I do that as a little exercise. I can give you a book, but I can't give you what you come down here for. It's a spiritual experience. It comes from God on high. So just as he reached his hand out, and you other two too, but you're a little slow, I want you to raise one hand. I don't care which one, toward heaven. Congregation, I want you to reach your hands toward him as I pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each of these that have come today. I thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be met today. Salvation, rededication, no soul experience, blessed infilling in the Holy Spirit. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hand down and look at me for just a moment. I want to ask you to go to a special place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually and in depth. You get them books. There's get a letter from me. That same place that we're going to, that's called it a prayer room, but every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock it becomes a classroom called Turning Point. And you say, well, what in the world is that? Well, it's just a few classes that to help you get your life turned on or back on to God. That's all it is. I'd like to see you in those classes next Sunday morning. Would you turn? You see Greg right there. He's going to take you to that place where people are waiting to minister to you, pray with you. Give them a hand as they go. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what it's all about. That's what I like. We hardly ever have a service that we have 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever. All right. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory. Staff, would you go to the doors, please, so we can be there to shake their hand? Hey, they just flashed on the screen. We had 630 people watching online this morning. Hallelujah. So, besides who we got here, we had 630 more people watching us. Hallelujah. So that's, I guess they call it, they got a new term. They call it e-church. I don't know who come up with all these things, but thank you for watching. Praise the Lord. Connection team, go find those guests. And we're so glad that you chose to be with us. Connection team, find our guests. Take them to get that special gift that we prepared for them. And once again, if you're looking for our church home, what do we say, church? Welcome home. We're so glad you chose to be with us today. Praise the Lord. Around here, we sing a chorus to dismiss tonight at 6 o'clock right here. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, hour of power, 7 to 8, be here. And then again next Sunday. Praise the Lord. Remember all the announcements and get involved in what's going on around here. We sing a chorus to dismiss. God bless you. Allow me to get off the platform and get to my door. Thank you for being here. Hey, all of you ladies, thanks for being with us today. If you stayed over, God bless. We'll see you next year.
The Spirit of the Lord is there.